The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Or as one translation reads, for the Word of God is a living thing. Welcome, and thank you for joining us here at Church on the North Coast as we listen to another exciting, anointed message from the Word of God. And now, God's messenger for today.
Come on, stand up on your feet with me. Let's do a confession. Are you ready? Nice and loud tonight. Come on, there's not that many of us. Let's shout it out. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm determined to take control of my tongue. Hell will not set my tongue on fire. I renounce, reject, repent of every word that has ever proceeded out of my mouth contrary to your word. My mouth is a weapon in the spirit. I will rule and reign. Never grumble and complain. My mouth shall utter truth. My words shall be words of blessing. Praise and thanksgiving. And in everything, I will give thanks. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise God, my mouth is a weapon. Had a lot of fun in England. We just had a tremendous time. Oh my goodness. Out of all the trips I've ever taken in 30 years of ministry, the most effective trip. Powerful trip, powerful trip. They received the word so beautifully. I preached 5 times in 5 days or 6 days or whatever it was, and just delivered the word and met meetings that lasted 3 and 4 hours at length. And you know, we were there all day from 9 to 3 and come back at night and be there to midnight, and just tremendous, powerful things. God spoke. I can hardly wait to share with the ministers tomorrow. We'll be in a meeting most of the day tomorrow and tell them what prophetically God did and how God spoke into our spirits, Tina and I, and really confirmed some things from a gentleman from Leeds, England, who just spoke prophetically to us. And then during that stay, had a prophetic dream. I don't think I've had maybe 2 or 3. Maybe I ought to just set this up right here so y'all can see it real good. There it is. I don't know that I've had 2 or 3 prophetic dreams like that, but I had a tremendous impartation of a prophetic dream that God gave me that really confirmed the prophetic word that was given to me by this gentleman. And then this week, a call came into the church that I just heard about this afternoon that confirms the other two. So let everything be established in the mouths of 2 or 3, unsolicited from different regions. So we'll talk more about that. Then I met a gentleman from Norway. He'd been to Uganda over 20 years. I told him, I was just talking to him. I said, look, I'm going to be going to Uganda. He said, when are you going to go? And he began to minister to me about what I should look for, what I should be cautious of, what has happened to him over those 20 years. Just gave me really good insight as to not going in there blindly, you know, with naivety and just really knowing where you're going. Ministered powerfully. I met some people from Italy, from Sicily, Palmiro, or something like that. And, you know, the mafia still operates down there. That's crazy. Yeah, we're talking about that. And met some people from Nepal and got invitations to go to Nepal to minister there. And just all over. I mean, just powerful things took place. So it was one of the most effective trips. And I know the only reason for it is because y'all were praying. And I know you were praying because, Tina, it was powerful, wasn't it? It was incredible. Oh, I mean, just we feel like totally different people. Just, it was incredible. It was an incredible trip. And my daughter, April, sitting here. Thank you, April. I love you. She works for Continental Airlines now for the last 10 years and gave me a vacation pass. You get so many vacation passes, which puts you right on the top of the list for your seniority. And all the way from Cleveland to Manchester, England, we flew first class. It was bad, boy. It was free, too. No money charged, nothing. It was free. And then on the way back, guess what? First class again. Woo! I said, Lord, I feel like I'm a dignitary or something. And I heard that Pastor Becca just tore it up here on Sunday. I was going to set up a little teaser, call her Pastor Becca from now on. But no, I was real proud to hear. I haven't heard the tape yet, but we will, and we'll get into it. But just a lot of good things are happening. I can hardly wait. God spoke specifically about our church. Some things in the area of worship. Just appreciate the worship tonight. More that God's adding. This is incredible. Listen to this. We were in a worship service. And the Lord had moved upon me to get new screens and new projectors, because the ones we have are really antiquated, the wrong kind of screens, move them in closer. And we wanted to put a screen up in the middle here between those pillars to fill it up so you get a real visual effect of what we're singing. And we ran out of money, just didn't have the money. And while I was there, this gentleman had prepared a worship service using videography and the technology of computers. Like, the word lightning was in this one particular song, and the whole screen exploded like lightning had struck it. And he had manufactured that through graphic effects. I sit there going, wow. God says, that's what you need to do in your church. People need to see that. They need to feel it. They need to get from the soulical and the spiritual. And so I said, oh, God, we need to get this thing, you know. We just need to have this happen. So I said, where's this guy from? I'd like to meet him. He says, his name is Mark, and he's over there in the back. I said, where's Mark from? He said, well, he's from the U.S. I said, he is? I said, that's awesome. Where about in the U.S.? Willoughby Hills. I said, Willoughby Hills? That's like 45 minutes from where I live. Where are you at, Mark? Come here. And we talked. And we're going to get together, and he's going to help us with some things, and I'm going to contract him to do some things for us. It is so exciting. I'm like out of my shoes tonight. And then I was in a meeting, and I'll just tell you one more thing. I better preach. What did I do? There's a church that had a need, financial need, and they kept sharing about, well, we got this bill. Don't forget if you want to give toward it. They're real soft on offerings, and that was great. And I felt like, well, you know, somebody really needs to give to that, so I gave some money toward it. And the next day, they said something again. I said, boys, you know, somebody really needs to get this thing paid off. And the third day, God says, I said, you know, there's somebody that needs to pay this off. And God said, that's why you're here. I said, well, me? Well, you want me to pay this off? And the only money we had is money that we allocated to fix the parking lot. And I said, well, okay, God, if you want me to take that money, then we'll give it to them and pay it. And so I felt like we were supposed to do that. So I made the announcement. The church went nuts. I mean, they were like, oh, thank you so much. You know, and they have very little there. It's less than 7% of the people in England actually go to church. So 93% of the people never darken the door of a church. So it's very oppressed. And we were able to be, as a church, a blessing to them, to get them out of a financial situation. So isn't that wonderful? I mean, just so many powerful things took place. I'm just thrilled, just excited. All right, get to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Whew, verse 18, been in the Word all day. All day I've been in the Word, except for I got interrupted by some administration. But that's necessary, isn't it, Luke? I just appreciate my son. He's working as an administrator now as a church and taking care of all the stuff I used to have to deal with. And I just love it. Tina was saying something to me on the front row. I don't even know what you said. She said, we got to do this, we got to do that. I said, see that guy right down here? Tell him. So I'm just like free. I'm just blessed. Working on Sunday, sacrifice day. We're going to have all these mayors here and hopefully police officers and firemen and women. And we're going to bless them. We've got beautiful gifts to give them and presentations to give them. Then I have a message on sacrifice that I believe is going to be touching their hearts. We're going to just share with them and go for the gusto. Amen. So it's going to be a powerful day. So you come out at the 11 o'clock service. If you're going to be at the 9, come on back to the 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 18. Did you find it? Okay, let's read it together. Ready? Read. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, we often skip over that part that says, this is the will of God. You know, often we're out there looking for what the will of God is. I wonder if it's the will of God that I go to England to preach. I wonder if it's the will of God that I marry this person. I wonder if it's the will of God that I go into ministry, or I write this book. We're always looking for the will of God, and we're skipping over the very primary will of God that God has already given to us in His Word, which says, in everything give what? For this is the... So if you want to know what the will of God is tonight, here it is. In everything, give thanks. You say, well, okay, but now what else? No, get that down first. If you and I can identify giving thanks in all things, remember, my mouth was not created to grumble and complain, but rather to rule and reign. So I don't want to let any negativity come out of my mouth. That's why I wrote that confession tonight, to repent, renounce, and reject everything that's come out of our mouth that's been contrary to God's Word. Get a clean slate. And after this message tonight, we're going to be thankful people. Amen. Tomorrow we're going to be walking around just thankful. But let me tell you what Thanksgiving is not. Thanksgiving is not an occasional or spontaneous acknowledgement of a good deed. It is not a spontaneous, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus, when the check was came in the mail, or when somebody gave you a blessing and brought you some chicken soup, or, you know, something happened. It's a spontaneous acknowledgement of a good deed. That is not Thanksgiving. Here's Thanksgiving. This is what biblical Thanksgiving, in my opinion, is. It's a practical orientation to a lifestyle of genuine, continual appreciation of the acts of God in one's life. It is that acknowledgement, it is that orientation to a lifestyle where I am on a continual basis appreciating the acts of God in my life. Now listen, I have flown now as a parent with Continental Airlines for 10 years. It's normal for me to fly for $12.50 or for free. That's just normal. I feel guilty about it when I look over at other people and they paid $400 for their ticket, but oh well, don't hate me because I'm blessed. But after 10 years, I got on the plane the other night, and when I checked up into the counter and they gave me that ticket, it said 2A and 2B. Baby, I know what that means. That means you're in the front of the bus. Usually we're in like 35 and 36 and 37. When I got that ticket, I said, oh God, I appreciate you so much. Lord, I felt like a giddy teenager going on my first date, sitting in that seat, looking at my wife, and said, you believe it? Whoa, we are in first class, man. This is awesome. God, you are so good to me. And it dawned on my life. I said, you know what? I never want to get to a point where I take things for granted that God has done for me. I want to continually appreciate and continually live a lifestyle of gratitude for what the Lord has done, and not only for what God has done, but for what other people have done. See, when people do acts of kindness and when people are directing effort toward you, you and I ought to respond with thanksgiving. You and I ought to respond to them and send them a card, call them up, send them an email, and say, man, you blessed me the other day. Because when we learn to live a lifestyle of thanksgiving, it unlocks the favor of God. It unlocks the favor of God. Let me ask this question. Do you see what God hasn't done in your life yet? Or do you see what God has done in your life? It's our choice, isn't it? What we decide to focus on. Well, my God, how come you haven't done this? And why haven't you done this? You said you're going to do this. You know what? I'm going to live a purposeful, thankful life, an appreciative life, thanking God for what He has done. I'm not going to worry about what hasn't come to pass yet. I'm going to thank Him for what He's already done. I'm going to focus on that. Say, look what the Lord has done. I don't want to get my mouth into that grumbling and complaining thing. But yeah, I wish they'd do this. And yeah, I wish they'd do that. No. Because I know that the favor of God is released when I have a heart of thanksgiving. Murmuring and grumbling and complaining will block the flow of favor. It'll block the flow of favor. You may get a touch from God, but you won't get a second one. He said, well, I don't need a second one. If I get one from God, that's all I need. All right, let me show you something in the Bible. Go to Luke chapter 17, verse 13 to 16. You see, you and I have got to develop an upward mentality. An upward mentality. Not an outward mentality, but an upward mentality. And an upward mentality basically says, I am thankful for the very air that I breathe. The song that we sang tonight, Lord, this is the air that I breathe. God, I am thankful that you have raised me upright. I'm walking up on my feet. I thank you, Lord, today that you've given me a Bible to read. I thank you, Lord. I was in Nehemiah this morning, and God blessed my socks off, so I didn't wear any tonight. So He blessed them off. I mean, I was just blessed because God showed me the Word. I said, Lord, I am a favored man because I opened up your Word and you showed me something in your Word. I had food today. My son came by and he said, I got some things to talk to you about. I was in my office at home and he said, I got to talk to you. He brought me a sandwich from Panera Bread. Think about that. I didn't even get out of my house to go get it. I didn't have to prepare it. It came to me. I unwrapped it. I ate it. I said, God, you are a good God. He said, well, why would you even be thankful for that? Listen, I want a second touch. I want to develop an upward mentality. I don't want to block the flow of God's favor in my life. I don't ever want to start taking for granted the things that God has given me. Because I live and I move and I have my being in Jesus. Amen. Can I get a witness in here? Amen. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to be thankful to Jesus all the days of my life. Hallelujah. You got that right. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to declare it. I'm going to let people know. I'm going to go public about it. Luke chapter 17. Look at verse 13. Luke 17 and verse 13. And they lifted up their voice and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Everybody say, turn back. He turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Now, wait a minute. You have to understand something about this man. This man was on his way to show himself to the priest. It was the law that if you had leprosy, in order to be declared healed, even though it wasn't on your body any longer, the priest had to look at you and give you a certificate of cleanliness, if you will. In other words, give you the okay, and you don't have to be quarantined anymore. So they're on their way to go show themselves to the priest, and as they're going, they get healed. But nine of them keep on going because they had an outward mentality. They were looking at what this thing was going to do for them and how they were going to improve their life. They were thinking about what the next step was. One of them, oh glory to God, usually only one out of ten, about 10%, will begin thinking, wait a minute, no, I don't have an outward mentality. I have an upward mentality. I got to turn back. I got to go back to the source from where this thing came. I know that it wasn't my going to the priest that healed me. I know that it won't be the priest that'll keep me healed. I know it came from the words of Jesus who declared me for me to go. So I'm going to turn back and go back to the source. So he went back to Jesus, and he was risking something. He was risking the lifting of the quarantine upon his life. The other nine kept on going. That powerful in that story? Look at the next verse. And with a loud voice, he glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Say it with me. Giving him thanks. He gave him thanks. Now, when you give something to somebody, it normally is a gift. It is unsolicited. When I give you a birthday card, a birthday gift, a Christmas gift, I didn't have to give it to you. I chose to give it. It was an act of my free will. He gave him thanks. He walked up to Jesus and he said, I am giving you, I'm presenting you from my own free will, thanksgiving. In other words, an acknowledgement of the upward mentality that this touch came from you. So the Bible tells us that he gave him as a gift, thanks. Watch what happened. And Jesus answering said, we're not there 10 cleansed, but where are the nine? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise and go thy way, thy faith hath made thee, or has given you a second touch. The first touch was the healing. The second touch was the wholeness. And the wholeness, or the second touch, was on the other side of a gratitude, a heart of gratitude, or a lifestyle of appreciation, or an upward mentality. The other nine were walking with the healing, and they were on their way to the priest, but the one who offered thanks as a gift, unsolicited by God, presenting it to God, got the second touch from God. And not only was he healed, but he was made whole. There was nothing missing, nothing broken in his life. I believe at that very moment, that man, the heavens opened up, the floodgates of God opened up upon his life and poured down upon him. Because thanksgiving provokes God into a second touch. I believe that when you and I can be thankful to the Lord for every little thing that he does, in everything, Paul said, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. If I can begin giving God thanks for every little thing that I have, I don't care, I don't have to be much. He said, what's the big deal about sitting in first class? Oh, 6-7 hours in the middle of the night. It is so nice. Put your feet up, lay back, fall asleep 5 hours, wake up and you're landing. It's like, man, this was good. Hallelujah. Or, you know, you say, well, that's okay, big deal. Yeah, but I was thankful, almost to the point of tears. When we got on the plane, I was so thankful. And if you're 6'4", and you're big as I am, you have to sit in that coach seat, and you're like this for 7 hours, you'll be thankful too. But I was like crying. I said, oh God, I thank you. And I said, Lord, you gave me the first touch. Now my thankfulness is going to open up with a second touch. And on the way home, glory be to God, got it again. I believe that when you and I become thankful, we open up the windows of heaven of the second touch. You see, because thanksgiving is really a commandment of God to the priesthood on the earth. Did you know that? It's actually a command of God. It's not really an option for us to operate in. This is a secret for those of us who want to operate in the supernatural. How many want to operate in the supernatural? Man, I want to operate in the supernatural. I want to see signs and wonders. I believe we're living in a generation that we can't convince them anymore by our slick technology, by our presentations, by our dramas, by our oratory. We're going to have to see healings, deliverances, miracles. We're going to have to see signs and wonders, demons cast out, amen. We have to see lives change, alcoholics get set free, drug addicts set free, prostitutes loose, homosexuality defeated at the cross. I believe we're going to have to see the power of God. These signs shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name. In other words, we have confidence in what God said. So if you and I want to operate in the supernatural, we're going to have to come into the commandment of thanksgiving. Go over to Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And I just declared to you that it's an actual command to the priesthood that operates on the earth. Peter told us that, know ye not that you are priests. Know ye not that you are a priest, a royal priesthood. And look, and now, O ye priests, verse 1 of Malachi chapter 2, and now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. I like that. This commandment is for you. You wonder where Budweiser got their commercial? This Bud is for you. This commandment is for you. And verse 2, if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. What was he saying? He said, I want you to be a thankful priest. I want you to be a heartfelt, thankful priest unto me. I don't want you just to go through rote. I don't want you to go through the motions. I don't want you to be an outward thinker. I want you to be an upward thinker. And an upward thinker is a person that always gives thanks unto the Lord. So it's a commandment from the Lord. I can give you a couple of examples, but let me give you one. Jesus. Jesus is his secret of success in the supernatural was obedience to this principle. He understood this principle about being an upward thinker, an upward thanker, if you will. That's a good one to do. He had an upward mentality, but he was an upward thankful person. In John chapter 6 and verse 11, do you remember the story that the little boy came to Jesus and he had some fish and he had some loaves and Jesus had a major problem. The major problem was he had 5,000 hungry people. And there was no 7-Elevens around. There was no convenience stores around. There was no place to go to Kmart all night or Walgreens and pick up some food and throw it out to all the people. They were out in the middle of the wilderness. And so the Bible says in verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, and look what happened. And when he had what? Given thanks. Now look, God didn't say that I want you to buy this for me. I want you to give this to me. It has to be come from a willing heart. Jesus said, first thing I'm going to do with these loaves and this fish is I'm going to give God thanks with it. I'm going to go upward. I'm going to lift upward that which I have. I'm going to lift upward that which I have. You say, well, why would you be thankful for just a few pieces of fish and a few loaves of bread? Because Jesus knew the secret to the supernatural. Operating as a priest on the earth, he needed a second touch from God. He knew that he could open up the divine flow of favor upon his life. And so what did he do? He lifted it up and he gave what? Thanks for what he had. Everybody say, give thanks for what you have. See, don't be grumbling and complaining about what you don't have. Give thanks for what you have. When you and I give thanks for what we have, the Bible says that God multiplied the fish and the loaves. And the Bible tells us that over 5,000 were fed. And how many basketfuls left? One for every disciple. All 12 basketfuls left because of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving will open up the second touch from heaven. And let me tell you something. This is a day and age when you and I are living that we cannot survive on one touch. We have to have repeated touches from God. I'll show that, I think, sometime coming up soon about Acts chapter 3. We're talking about Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. And all of a sudden, the bottom dropped out of their whole life. They had problems. They had trouble. I'll get to that in just a second. But as a result, they had to give thanks. They couldn't fall into the trap of grumbling and complaining because the tire was flat. Because the electric bill was more than what you thought. Because your kid, you know, took too much minutes on his cell phone. And now you're mad and you're throwing your weight around the house. And you're yelling and complaining. You're complaining about how they're just to take abuse you. And you can't give thanks for their life. You just want to complain for what they've not done and what they haven't been able to do for you. You see, we want to grumble and complain. And so that's a trap of the devil to rob you of the supernatural. That's why we've got to stop ourselves dead in our tracks and say, no, I refuse to grumble and complain about this. Let me find something to give thanks to God for. Thank you, Jesus. Although they've had more minutes on their cell phone than they ought to, they didn't get killed the other night when they were out with their friends. They're home safe and they're in bed. Thank you, Jesus. That's all you can do. You got to get an upward mentality. Everybody put your hands up in the air. Whoop, whoop. Come on, put your hands up in the air. All right? Upward mentality. Come on, say upward mentality. I'm going to give thanks to God before I do anything else for whatever I have, be it how small. Doesn't matter. I'm looking for the second touch. John chapter 11, look at verse 41. Now, you think about a hopeless situation. You say, why do you want to give thanks in a hopeless situation? Because it's a commandment of God. And the priests of God that operate in it know this principle. And when they do, it opens up the second flow. John chapter 11, look at verse 41. This is the story of the raising of Lazarus. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank thee thou hast heard me. He didn't know that God was going to hear him about what he's about ready to ask. He just said, I'm going to thank you for what I've already know that you've heard me about. I know, I want to thank you for this and I want to thank you for that. I believe Jesus was having a little praise session right there, thanking his Father for things that his Father had already done for him. He said, Father, first of all, before I even go to this Lazarus thing, all these people standing around, I ain't bothered by them. I'm not under any pressure. I'm an upward thinker. I just want to lift my hands right now and thank you for the things you've already heard from me. I want to say thank you for the other day opening up them blind eyes. I want to just say thank you, Jesus. Boy, he was having a time all by himself. He said, well, I'll just read in the Bible. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've heard from me. And I thought he was talking about, you know, what he's going to do. No, it doesn't say that. About those past tense, what you've already heard. He hadn't even prayed or he hadn't even said anything about Lazarus yet. See, it is a secret of opening up divine flow and causing us to operate in the supernatural. Church, we've got to learn how to be thankful people. We've got to learn how to have a mouth full of thanksgiving, repent, reject, and renounce all words that are contrary to God's word coming out of our mouth, any grumbling, complaining. Stop it! Let it stop. Why? Because divine flow. Got to look for the second touch. You see, there's sometimes we need to go under it more than one time. I was praying for somebody in England, and some lady had this back problem. She was messed up. And so I prayed for her. I said, how you feel? She goes, well, I'll be honest with you. I said, I want you to be honest. She said, it's as bad as it was. I said, well, you know what? God gave me a word about Naaman. Had to dip 7 times. I said, thank you for the first dip. I said, if you got to go down 6 more times, let's go. So we prayed again. And then we prayed a 3rd time. I said, anything changed? She goes, no. I said, well, glory to God, man of faith that I am. But we're going to say thank you for it anyway, Jesus. And so by the end of the night, she came up to me. She said, guess what? I kept praying. I kept dipping. I said, that's good. I said, did you thank God when he came up, even if you didn't see it or didn't feel it or had any kind of evidence of it? She goes, I did. She goes, guess what? I'm starting to feel better. I said, well, I'm going to come in agreement with you right now. By the time you wake up in the morning, you're going to be completely and totally healed. But remember, every time you go down, come up with hands lifted up, giving God thanks. Amen? Come on, lift up your hands. Say, dear Jesus, I will be an upward thinker, an upward thanker. For all that you have done. Amen. I believe that. See, we've got to get that kind of thinking in our minds. Don't let people talk us out of being thankful unto the Lord for all that he has done. Let's get back to the verse. Verse 1. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. I believe the only reason why Lazarus was raised is because Jesus was an upward thinker and an upward thanker. He was the one that was ready to give God thanks as a gift unsolicited by God. You know, it's something when somebody, after you have to come up to somebody and say, well, at least you could do is say thank you. And you go, thank you. How much does that mean? Nothing. Well, you have to solicit the thank you. But when it comes unsolicited, it comes as a gift. It comes as one who went out of their way, on their way to the priest, going to go ahead and live my life. No, stop, turn back, come back to the source and say, I want to thank you, Jesus. I just want to thank you, Jesus. And then Jesus, understanding this priesthood principle. Everybody say priesthood principle. How many are royal priesthood tonight? This is a priesthood principle for you and me. We can't operate on this earth outside of this principle in the supernatural. We've got to learn to do it. We've got to learn to be appreciative. We've got to learn to be thankful. We've got to learn to be a people who are full of gratitude for what God has done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was practicing this principle the other day. I was trying to send an email, and I'm not real techie. And I was trying to send this email back to England to tell everybody thank you for what they did. And I'm trying to remember. I said, well, thank you for the tea, and and tell them thank you for the smiles. And I was trying to be thankful for everything. Why? Because I'm looking for my second touch. I'm looking for the divine flow. I'm looking to operate in the priesthood principle. I'm not going to be gypped out of this thing. I want all of it. I want signs and wonders. Amen? Come on, church. We got to have signs and wonders in this house. That means you and I got to get on the stick. We've got to do this thing. Acts chapter 3 and 1. Now I know where I'm going. Acknowledging God's greatness. See, you and I got to acknowledge God's greatness. That's my second point. My first point is develop an upward mentality. Number two, acknowledge God's greatness. And I'm hurrying as fast as I can. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. There was Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. And what happened? There was a great move of God. There was a lame man there by the temple gate and called beautiful. And he said, silver and gold do I have not. I have none, but what I do have I give unto thee in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And the man went walking and leaping and praising God and went into the temple. And there was a great stir. And the people were praising God for the miracle that had taken place. And then Peter, in verses 11 to 25, gets up there and starts waxing eloquent. He said, this is that. And he starts talking about the ancients. And he starts talking about God's mercy. And he starts talking about how good God is and the power and the miracles of God. And people are amening him. And the B3 is screaming. And the people are shouting. And the preacher's sweating and slinging spit. And they're having a great time. They're having church. And then what happens? In Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, the authorities come together. Let's take a look at it. Let's see what happens. On a high, on a move of God, on a miracle power of God, something happens in Acts chapter 4. And while they, Peter and John, were talking to the people, while they were still having church, the high priest and the military commander of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being vexed and indignant through and through because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in the case of Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they laid hands on them, arrested them, put them in prison until the following day, for it was already evening. Here we go. In a matter of minutes, lame people are getting up and walking. Church is praising God. Peter's preaching like crazy. The church is all fired up. And suddenly, we're in prison. Peter and John, what in the world happened to us, man? What did you say out there? I don't know. What did you say? I can't believe it. If you just shut up, why'd you have to start talking about Moses again? No, no, no. You didn't hear any of that stuff in prison. They were upward thinkers. They were apostolic. They were supernatural people. They were the New Testament church. They understood the principle that Jesus operated. The success principle that Jesus operated was, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God. And the Bible tells us that they were careful not to grumble and not to complain. And look what happened in verse 24. I lost my place. Let me get back to Acts 4. In verse 24, the Bible says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. In other words, Peter and John came back to the church after being released and being threatened and being imprisoned and said, look, guys, I got to tell you what happened. We were preaching and this all happened. And the people said, who do they think they are? I'm getting an attorney. We're going to sue them. We're going to take them for everything they've got. We're going to get all the church and we're going to pick it on the street. Well, I can't believe, there's no way they can do that. They didn't say that. They said, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voices to God. Why? Because they were upward thinkers. With one accord, they said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And goes on and on and on and on. And they began to give God thanks and praise for the trial that they were in and the trial they went through. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant thy servant with all boldness that we may just speak your word. Lord God, help us not to get into a conflict with them, for we know we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We know that they're not our issue. We know that we will keep our mouth open to praise and thanksgiving and not into grumbling and complaining. And the Bible says in verse 31 that when they did that, they got a second touch. Verse 31 says, and when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. That's two chapters later from the upper room, from the initial outpouring of the Holy Ghost. God said, you want a second touch? I'll give you a second touch. But when you go through trial, when you go through tribulation, when you go through suffering, when you go through trouble, don't let the devil get a hold of your tongue. Don't set your world on fire by what you say. Let your mouth be begin to praise God, give Him thanks, be an upward thinker, understand the priesthood principle, and realize that God is in control of your life. And when they began to thank God, in a few verses later, the Bible said the Holy Ghost was poured out upon them one more time. And the place where they were sitting was filled with the cloven tongues of fire. And the winds of God began to blow upon them again. And the Bible said they received what? Another touch of the Holy Ghost, boldness of God. Come on, throw your hands up to heaven and say, Jesus, I am an upward thinker. I will be an upward thinker. My mouth is a weapon of the Spirit. It is not for grumbling and complaining. It is for ruling and reigning. In all things, I will give thanks. For this is the will of God for me. Now give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Thank God tonight. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. I am not going to be sucked into that thing. No, you're not going to take my second flow. You're not taking my second touch away. You see, what would have been the outcome had they complained? What would have been the outcome had they sat around complaining? Here we are trying to do something for God. Here I am using the power of the name of Jesus. Man gets healed and then God lets this happen. What kind of God are we serving anyway, John? I don't know. But I tell you what, if he's going to be like that, I'm not serving him. I'm tired of this stuff. I'm tired of going to prison. I ain't going to prison for no man. I'm tired of it. What kind of result would have happened? You think the Holy Ghost would have fell again? Not. You think there would have been shadow healings? No. You think there would have been handkerchief healings later? No. Do you think there would have been signs and wonders and powers and the church growing in numbers without constraint at all? No. Because the second flow would have been blocked. And we are living in a generation that's all we know how to do is grumble and complain. There's a complaint department in every store. We stand in line. On the way home, our plane, we got into Newark, and our plane was 2 hours late, and we had to, you know how that is. You're just 2 hours late, and you miss your flight, and you have to stand in line, get another flight. So we checked our bags in after coming through customs back in the good old USA. Glory to God, ain't no place like home, baby. I'll tell you that right now. And so we get our luggage home, open up our luggage, and it says a little thing in there from the Transportation Authority, Administration, TSA, people that stand there in them white coats, make you take your shoes off, belt off. And almost make you get naked to go through this thing, you know, and check all your stuff. We inspected your bag because it was locked. And I pulled my clothes out and they're all soiled, stained, like they threw them in the water or something, then threw them back in my case. I said, a spirit of complaint's coming on me. I was feeling. I said, I'm an upward thinker, but not right now. Hold on for a minute. I just bought this thing in England. I bought the coolest little zip-up sweatshirt, short, blue on the inside, white, just cool. I was like, cool. And it was stained. Just got a new Nike golf hat, Minister Greg. Stained. Oh, I was mad. I got on the internet. I sent an email. Send. Ha! Take that. Now let me get back to my sermon here. Upward. It's so easy, sneaks up on you, doesn't it? So easy. And I said it nice, but I was complaining. Please understand. You know, I wasn't like, you jerks. I Christianized my complaint. I sanctified it. You know, martinized it. Whatever. And I got an email back from them. Same day, from the government. Imagine that. I got an email back. It says, we're considering your situation and we'll be in contact with you. And if you'd like to, you know, consult our policy on these matters, you know, go to www.gov.something, you know. And it's so easy to turn. It's so easy to turn from your source and begin to complain about something that happened. I said, God, you knew before I got on the plane to go to England, when I saw that little sweatshirt that I wanted and I bought it, that it was going to land on some floor in some airport and put back in my bag and Now I have responsibility taken for it. And I'm going to open it up when I get there, and it's going to be stained. You knew that. So why'd you let it happen? Isn't it easy to get that mentality about stuff? I want to be an upward thinker. I said, oh, Lord, I thank you for my stained white sweatshirt that I cannot wear. Now I can't wear it. So I pulled it out. Tina said, put a little bleach on there. I said, I'm bleaching it out. I'm cleaning it. I said, I think it's coming out. And underneath, there's like a blue lining to it, you know. And I put too much bleach on it, and so it bleached the blue through the white and took the blue and made it like a yellow. So I really messed it up now. Don't let grumbling and complaining sneak up on you. It's a calculated strategy of hell. It is the devil's desire to break the will of God in your life and my life, to block the second flow. Too much at stake. I've got it. What did I say? What did I say Thanksgiving was? It's a practical orientation to a lifestyle of genuine, continual appreciation of the acts of God in one's life. So if you don't appreciate, watch this, you will find yourself depreciate. If you don't learn how to appreciate, your life will depreciate. What does appreciate mean? To be fully aware of the value, importance, and magnitude, and to esteem adequately or highly. I want to appreciate. If I don't, I'm going to see my life depreciate. I'm going to loss of value or efficiency resulting from deterioration. I'm going to cause my own life to deteriorate because I was refused to be an upward thinker. So I've got to maintain the discipline. See, this is a no-joke thing. You want to walk in the supernatural. This is not just going to happen. You just don't read 3 Bible verses, pray in the Holy Ghost for 5 minutes, go to church on Sunday and Thursday nights and walk in supernatural. It is a disciplined lifestyle every moment of the day, every day, to be thinking about the strategies of hell that are trying to suck you into grumbling and complaining. Say, I'm not going there, devil. You get back! Right? You got to be on your guard. You got to be ready. You got to be thinking this through. You got to just say, Holy Spirit, check me on it. Check me, Holy Ghost. Check me. That's why we got to pray in the Holy Ghost, so we're familiar. Our spirit's familiar with the checks of the Holy Ghost. So when I start complaining, I'm pounding out that email. I'm like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I just think I'm going to let this thing drop. I'm not going to grumble and complain about this. It's no big deal. God's my source. God's my supply. I'm not going to grumble and complain about it. See, our thankfulness is valuable, not only to yourself, but to others. You want to see something else? One more scripture? Say 12. I'll be done in just a couple minutes. Go to Acts chapter 16. See, your thankfulness affects me, and your lack of thankfulness affects me. So if you come in here grumbling and complaining, I'm a church, and the church, and pastor that, and music this, and office that, and nobody call me back, and that's him, and they say they're about love, and you know, the regular church stuff. That affects me. Your grumbling, complaining affects me. That's why I like to be around thankful people, because you affect me too. Now let me show you how you can affect me in the positive. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Paul and Silas had been put in the prison. This is a classic scripture. You know the scripture. But about midnight, as Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymn of praise to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. It's amazing who's listening to you when you're standing in line at McDonald's griping about your little cheeseburger. You don't think anybody's listening to you. You have a right because you paid 85 cents for that thing. It's going to kill you anyway because it's filled with trans fats and all that other junk. But you're like mad, right? So you're going to let them know they didn't put a spoon in there for your yogurt, fruit yogurt. You want to set somebody straight. See, it's all about second flow, second touch. It's all about the supernatural, and you're worried about a yogurt and a spoon. The devil said, these people are so easy to control, they're like little puppets. Watch. Marionettes, dance for me, baby. Creating situations to control us. Paul and Silas were praising God and thanking God in the middle of a prison. And this prison was like the prison we got today. I don't have time to explain it. This was a dungeon. This was in a hole in the ground. There was no lights. There was no TV. Nobody cleaned the floors for you. Nobody flushed the toilets because there were none. And they were in the middle of that prison and they were singing, now thanks be to our God. They were giving God glory. And everybody was listening to them. Suddenly there was an earthquake. So the very foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once all the doors were open, and Paul and Silas's shackles were unfastened. Is that what it says? No. It says, everyone's shackles were unfastened, right? Who was giving thanks? Who was listening? Whose shackles fell off? Your thanksgiving can bring me deliverance. Your upward thinking can turn around the church. Your thankful heart can get me a blessing. That's why I want you to be thankful. Because I want to be around thankful people. If you're stuck with a bunch of ungrateful, griping and complaining friends, find some new ones. Or put some plugs in your ears so you can't hear them, man. Because if their praise and thanksgiving loose shackles, then their lack of it will probably put some shackles on you. And I don't need any more bindings in my life. Amen? I need to be loosed. I need to be free. Everyone's bands were loosed. Those bands mean chains or limits. I like this. Everyone's limits were removed. Thanksgiving removes limits. We're in one of the meetings in England, and the Holy Spirit began to move during worship. And one of the guys were leading worship, and he kept saying, he started singing in the Spirit. He said, there is no limits in God. And they're playing, there's no limits in God. There's no limit, no limit, no limit in God. We went for about 20 minutes singing. I got the verse down. There was no limits in God. But it was powerful because it was bringing to us a truth that as we give thanks, the bands, the limits fall off. You say, well, I think I've reached the top of the salary in my company of what position I'm in. Thanksgiving removes the limits. Isn't that great? You say, I think I've gone about as far as I can go in my marriage. I think we're doing really well. Thanksgiving takes the limits off of that. And we want to operate that way. Let me conclude by saying this. It's definitely a way to attract heaven's attention. And it's got to be more than just a mechanical, rote response to a good sermon. Thank you, Jesus. No. Thank you, Jesus. I want to engage him. I want to offer to him as a gift. I want to say, thank you, Jesus. So you and I need to become mindful of upward thinking. Look for the opportunities and the importance to appreciate God's greatness. How many know that he's great? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How great thou art. That's a good song. Whatever key you want to play it in. That's not, I usually sing in the key of S. Look for opportunities to appreciate God's greatness. Never be satisfied with just one touch when you can have two. Are you satisfied with just one touch? Why? Have two. It's like getting one chip. Bet you can't eat one. It's like one chip. Nah, go ahead, have two. Just have two blessings. Didn't what Isaiah said? I'm going to give you double. Blessing upon blessing. Come on, stand up to your feet.
You've been listening to a message that emphasizes the reality and power of God's Word. Again, thank you for listening. If you would like further information on our ministries or other products available, visit us online at www.churchonthenorthcoast.org or you may call us at 440-960-1100. In the meantime, may God richly bless you, and may His Word be alive in your life.